Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The airwaves here. Bring up anything that's on your mind here tonight. It's Ian.
And Aria.
The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been talking about the ongoing crackdown against cryptocurrency on various different levels in the federal government. The SEC seems to be one of the primary offenders going after various different types of people, going after designers like library, people that are creating new technologies in the cryptocurrency area. And that's LBRY, by the way. You should check out their case if you don't know anything about it. It's absolutely outrageous what has happened to them. They're going after stablecoins. They're going after exchanges. We saw them go after the Kraken exchange a couple of weeks ago and get a $30 million payout from Kraken because Kraken just didn't want to fight in court and possibly lose millions and millions more, maybe even lose their entire business.
It's crazy that they can even do that. Like, okay, yeah, here's $30 million. Now leave us alone.
Yeah, well, they also agreed to shut down their staking service as well. So, got an update as well on the latest from the SEC. We know they're going after stablecoins. We just talked about them filing a what sounds like criminal charges against Do Kwon, who is the South Korean guy who doesn't live in the United States.
Yeah, so why is he subject to U.S. law?
Because the U.S. apparently can just reach into any political jurisdiction they want to, with the exception of maybe Russia. And maybe a handful of other countries around the world, but basically pluck anybody they want out from those places and put them in a U.S. prison. That's what it seems like.
The U.S. government would certainly like it to be that way.
Yeah, in the case of Do Kwon, he's on the run from South Korea, so the South Korean government does not have him in their possession at the moment. Every now and then he'll pop up on Twitter and make posts, so it's like he hasn't gone completely silent. Which is risky, I think, on his part. But
well, I mean,
it's interesting to watch.
VPNs and stuff. Yeah. I'm sure there's a way.
So we're gonna go to your calls here and your thoughts. But then another update here on the latest from the SEC and what other shenanigans they're up to against the crypto world. But Sarah is in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh yes, Are you still out? I mean, you're sounding pretty chipper for looking at 25 years in jail, Ian.
Oh, it's only 20 years. It's only the next two decades of my life. Yeah.
Oh, you're not stressed at all. I mean, you're...
Oh, no. It does keep me up at night and on some nights. It is difficult to get to sleep with all the thoughts that go through my head. But, I mean, it doesn't do me any good to be all depressed about it or whatever. I got to keep on doing what I can do be here on the outside and try to help my friends and family and, you know, do whatever I can. So, no, I don't – I try not to let it get to me. And it's not over yet. Like, there's still a sentencing to go through, and it could be bad. Could be not so bad. Who knows how that's gonna end up? I know it's stressing the hell out of you, Aria. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I would really like to get my sentencing done. I mean, I would have liked to have gotten it done back in December. I mean, I wanted that hearing date. And
yeah,
then it got pushed back.
It's frustrating. Yeah. Whether it's a light at the end of the tunnel or not, it would at least be the end of the tunnel, and you would at least then know what you're dealing with.
Right.
Right now, we have no idea.
It's borderline unbearable. It puts your life in a holding pattern where you can't make long-term plans because I just don't know if I'm going to be here 3 months from now, right?
Right.
And I have to, most people, you know, that's true in some philosophical sense. Well, I might be dead tomorrow. Okay, that's fine. But I might literally not be here 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. I might be in a federal prison. I can't plan anything that goes beyond that date because I don't know what's going to happen. So my entire world, anything everything I would want to do, like get involved in relationships or whatever, is just permanently put on hold and left in this limbo where I'm white knuckling and trying not to go crazy because I have this thing hanging over me and no idea when it's going to end or what is going to actually happen when it comes to an end.
And this has been our life for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, we have not been able to do anything. This is typical, though, of anyone who's facing any kind of criminal charges. You can't build something new under a circumstance. You know, you can't open a new business or whatever. You can't take a new turn in life because you don't know what's coming. The axe can drop on you at any moment, and it's really frustrating. But why were you calling tonight, Sarah?
Oh, I was going to let you guys know that, you know, the Albuquerque will be getting more speeding cameras here. Like, we're looking at 10 more. And the county, they're going to be putting up speeding cameras, too. So I just...
Why should I care?
Well, I know you don't care, but I care. And all the people that got their loved ones killed and the traffic fatalities, we care.
Why should anyone in Albuquerque care about these stupid traffic cameras in Albuquerque, Sarah?
Yeah, it's really your worst topic, Sarah.
But, I mean, it might be the worst topic, but this is the best topic for me because I've been working on this forever. And
so call a radio station in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
This is the most local of local news, and it's a terrible topic even for local news.
Yeah, try calling with something relevant to a national listening audience, and thank you for the call. Let's go to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Yes, this is Jim in Daytona Beach.
Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was curious, isn't it the case, Ian, that you changed your name at some point to Ian Freeman?
I sure did, yeah.
So that wasn't always your name.
That's correct.
Well, just a thought, you know, and being a little bit lighthearted, but you may want to consider another name change, possibly Hunter Biden or Sam Bankman-Fried, as far as being able to, get out of that sentence. It's coming.
Well, that's fun, but no, I don't think that would. I don't think that's going to fool the people that are prosecuting me. It, usually, when you change your name, you still have evidence of the old names that you have, and you're still responsible for all of the things that you did under those old names. So
just being a little bit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate where you're coming from on that, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So as frustrated as you are about the government and all that they're doing, is part of your frustration when you see how Sam Bankman-Fried has been treated compared to other people in the crypto world? This whole idea of uneven justice to me seems to be the most outrageous part of the justice system.
Well, I understand that Sam Bankman-Fried is on home detention. He does have some restrictions on what he can and can't do. I did see an article that he possibly has violated his bail conditions by using a VPN to watch a football game or something like that. So, you know, he may be seeing some sort of modification in his bail as a result of that. I mean, it's by no means the Sam Bankman fraud on any kind of light bail conditions. He is out under pretty severe bail conditions with a $250 million bond. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that, things are easy for him.
But didn't the Crypto 6 get held for, like, many, many weeks where this guy only was held for a handful of days?
He was held longer than I was.
Well, that's true. You got released same day, Aria, and four out of the six were released on the same day. Myself and nobody were held. Nobody was held for 6 months, wrongfully, in my opinion.
Well, unconstitutionally,
yeah.
The judge ultimately said.
Yeah, but he won't see any kind of... there's not going to be any kind of, like, restitution for that. That's just,
right.
That became part of his sentence. And in my case, I was held for 69 days. And again, not in the right, in my opinion, but it's what happened. So, I guess you could look at it from that perspective, but certainly somebody who lines the pockets of politicians is likely going to get a different treatment.
He was the second largest donor to Biden, multiple White House visits. His parents are former law professors at Stanford.
Yes.
There was an article this last week that one of the individuals that staked the money for the bail is another Stanford law professor.
They didn't actually stake money. as I understand it.
Or
they,
whatever, they put their house up. Or
yeah, they put
whatever.
Some
they put
sort of,
up.
Yeah, they put something up that wasn't even near $250 million. So there was
I was
a lot
wondering
of BS.
How they did that, because that's an impossible hurdle to jump through.
Yeah,
right?
So there was a lot of BS surrounding that number and
yeah.
exactly how it got.
Yeah, they can, like, come up with a formula where you put a tiny amount down, and then the rest is like a personal guarantee. But it's another – people are speculating that it's another Epstein kind of a situation, that Bankman-Fried was not only running crypto, but apparently he was a facilitator for money that was flowing from the U.S. to Ukraine. And there was also speculation that he may have been sort of laundering money for secret ops of the U.S., and he may know a lot of things, and it would just be interesting to see if he gets virtually no sentence. You
I
know,
mean, if that was
somebody
true,
like,
if that was true, they
did,
wouldn't
I
have
mean,
gone after him.
Well, yeah, but he may have gone so far off the reservation that they had no choice but to go after him. But the thing is that in the end, this guy is probably a Madoff-level criminal, and he should get that kind of time. If he, in fact, misdirected, if the allegations are true.
Billions in customer funds.
Yeah, yeah. If he did that, then he should be probably, you know, I mean, compared to, like, what you guys did, which is, like, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to what this guy did, I just
don't.
Well,
we weren't even accused of doing fraud. I mean,
there are. No one accused us of defrauding anyone.
If you were to look at the dollars involved and say, oh, well, these guys, you know, sold X amount of Bitcoin, well, that's like, you know, pennies compared to the money involved with Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, but
and,
I would have so much less issue with him if all he was accused of doing was selling large amounts of Bitcoin, billions
oh,
and billions of Bitcoin.
I know. I'm just saying if there's even any way to make a comparison, I would be, let's say that Ian gets 20 years. I don't think Bankman-Fried's going to get 20 years. I doubt he's going to get 20 months. And
good chance he's going
to
get a plea deal. I mean, you know,
he's going to get disappeared, if anything.
He did say not guilty, but you know, it doesn't mean he's not going to take a plea later on when they come at him with more charges, which, of course, they did to us several months into it. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate the thoughts and the kind words, and thank you. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. So in related news, the SEC, according to CNBC in an article that came out last week that I've been holding on to here, they voted 4-1 to propose sweeping changes to federal regulations that would expand custody rules to include assets like crypto and require companies to gain or maintain registration with the SEC in order to hold those customer assets. The proposed amendments to federal custody
rules.
Would
be, hold on. It's creating regulation for non-custodial wallets, essentially?
No, this would be for people who have custody over crypto assets. So this would be like exchanges, for instance?
Yeah, non-custodial wallets, basically.
Oh, sorry, yeah, No, these would be custodial wallets. These would be...
Okay, yes.
These would be where the exchange has your crypto, they have your keys, basically. So the proposed amendments would expand the scope to include any client assets under the custody of an investment advisor. Current federal regulations only include assets like funds or securities and require investment advisors like Fidelity or Merrill Lynch to hold those assets with a federal or state chartered bank with a few highly specific exemptions. It would be the SEC's most overt effort to rein in even regulated crypto exchanges that have substantial institutional custody programs serving high net worth individuals and entities which custody investor assets like hedge funds or retirement investment managers. The move poses a fresh threat to crypto exchange custody programs as other federal regulators actively discourage custodians like banks from holding customer crypto assets. The amendments also come as the SEC aggressively is accelerating enforcement attempts. While the amendment doesn't specify...
I mean, I'm sort of fine with this. If the U.S. government wants to, you know, choke out all the custodial wallets and make it where everyone has to keep their own Bitcoin, that's a good thing in my
opinion.
But
this would kill exchanges if they don't register with the SEC, so I'm not fine
with it. That's bad.
While the amendment doesn't specify crypto companies, Gensler said in a separate statement that, quote, though some crypto trading and lending platforms may claim to custody investors' crypto, that does not mean they are qualified custodians.
Well, they don't need to be a custodian to hold it.
That's the definition of a custodian.
Yeah.
If someone is holding...
But they don't have to be, like, qualified to do that. They just have to be...
That's what they're saying, is now they will have to be. That's the proposal that they're proposing.
Yeah, that's the insane part, though. And, I mean, and furthermore, who is the SEC to determine who is and isn't a good custodian of cryptocurrency?
They are the ones who will make the changes in the regulations to say, we are now in charge of this. That's what they're saying here. They're basically saying is that cryptocurrency exchanges would need to become registered with the SEC. And that would mean God knows what kind of compliance, new rules, new regulations, new costs that would be imposed upon these cryptocurrency exchanges to just simply allow you to buy some damn Bitcoin.
Yeah, all the more reason that non-KYC options for acquiring cryptocurrency are so important.
And basically don't exist.
Their life is being choked out of them, certainly.
Under the new rules, in order to custody any client asset, including and specifically cryptocurrency, an institution would have to hold the charters or qualify as a registered broker-dealer, futures commission merchant, or be a certain kind of trust or foreign financial institution. So whatever the hell all that means, these are different legalese terminology, legalese financial terminology that the SEC, these different categories.
None of which means anything to me. I don't know what a qualified trust is or whatever.
A broker-dealer, a futures commission merchant, or a trust or foreign financial institution. The SEC said the proposal...
It has to be, if it's one of our buddies, basically. They have to be one of our buddies, is what I heard.
Mm-hmm. So they said the proposal would not alter the requirements to be a qualified custodian, and that there was nothing precluding state-chartered trust companies, including Coinbase or Gemini, from serving as qualified custodians, except if the SEC says no. Right?
Right.
So what they're saying here is, we're not going to change the requirements to be a qualified custodian, whatever the hell that means. We're saying that now we're going to require people who are holding onto Bitcoin for other people to register with us. Now, if they don't allow you to register, if they deny your registration, then you will not be a qualified custodian, and you will be violating the law by holding on to customer funds, and then you will be forced to close or leave the United States.
I mean, this could, I do still see how this could be a good thing if it required cryptocurrency exchanges to make a purchase on behalf of a customer and then immediately turn that coin over to that customer instead of holding it in the exchange's wallet.
It doesn't work that way.
And even then, the free market should allow them to, you know, if custodial wallets are what the free market wants, then that should be allowed. However, I don't necessarily see a problem with Coinbase. If you buy $500 worth of Bitcoin from Coinbase, they have to immediately send that $500 worth of Bitcoin directly to a wallet that you control.
But that's not how exchanges typically work. It might be
right.
It might be possible to do that if you're talking about somebody who has dollars that they've deposited with Coinbase, want to buy Bitcoin and withdraw it immediately. There may be an option for that, but that's not the bulk of what that company does. They hold the Bitcoin that people buy. They
right.
want people to keep the Bitcoin on their platform. And further, on exchange platforms, when you have Bitcoin and you want to buy, say, Dash or Bitcoin Cash or Monero or something like that, then the exchange has to have your Bitcoin in custody. There's no other way to have your coins on an exchange and actually exchange for another crypto unless you have a decentralized exchange. And there's really only
that's
one
true.
Of those out there right now. It's called ThorChain. And that's not Coinbase's business model. They don't make money that way, and they're not going to change into a decentralized exchange. So you can't put an order on an order book without having the coins on the exchange to back it up. So
that's
this
a good
is just
point.
Not an option.
Yeah.
So they are going to be forced to become these so-called qualified custodians under these new regulations, presuming that they're adopted, and why wouldn't they be, right? If the SEC wants these new regulations, they're going to come into to play. According to the story here, officials emphasized the proposed amendments didn't make a decision on which cryptocurrencies the SEC considers securities.
All of them.
Yeah. The amended regulation would also require a written agreement between custodians and advisors, expand the surprise examination requirements, and enhance record-keeping rules. So there'll be even more paperwork for these exchanges to go through.
This is what Coinbase wanted, so it's hard to feel bad for Coinbase in particular.
The SEC previously had sought public feedback on whether crypto-friendly state-chartered trusts like those in Wyoming were, quote-unquote, qualified custodians. Gensler said in a statement, "Make no mistake, today's rule, the 2009 rule, covers a significant amount of crypto assets. As the release states, most crypto assets are likely to be funds or crypto asset securities covered by the current rule. Further, though some crypto trading and lending platforms may claim to custody investors' crypto, that does not mean they are qualified custodians." And so that's what he's trying to do here, is he's trying to force, and will be from all, you know, and there's no reason to believe this isn't going to go through, to force all these businesses to become so-called qualified custodians or close.
Let consumers determine who is and isn't qualified to hold their cryptocurrency.
Oh, well, yeah, that didn't work with FTX, did it?
Well, I would have told anyone who was paying attention not to keep their money with FTX. We've been saying from the very beginning not to keep your coins on an exchange.
That's true. We
have. Because the only qualified custodian for your cryptocurrency is you.
This is a fact. If you want to weigh in, you can. Let's go to this phone call. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Timothy. I'm in Florida.
Timothy, what's on your mind tonight?
I heard you talking about the Thor chain, which I've never used. I do know of one other decentralized non-custodial exchange. It's actually network software, peer-to-peer. It's called BitSquare.
Hmm.
There was some name issue, and they changed the name to BISC.
Oh, yeah, BISC.
B-I-S-Q.
Yep.
We mentioned that a little while ago.
Yeah, we talked about it previously. Have you used it?
I've never made any exchanges. I've only installed it, but I noticed that the wallets are all local on your machine. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Bitcoin is actually integrated into the BitSquare, and then all of the other wallets you would have to have installed locally.
Mm. Yeah, that's a little complex for people to set up. The last time I looked at BISC, and it's been a few years, but the last time I looked, there just wasn't a lot going on. Did you notice, have you used it recently or looked at it recently, and did you see whether there was a fair amount of volume or trades going on?
That's actually interesting. The volume went up until about the time of that Bankman-Fried guy, and then I noticed it started to drop off.
Well, that's true for everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, it gained some popularity. But to be honest, I've been listening to you guys since at least 2010.
Wow.
And I'm like, they never talk about BISC. I'm like, I got to call them one day and tell them about it.
It's funny that you called, because we actually talked about it earlier tonight.
Indeed.
Listening to you, and I'm like, man, I got to call them. They got to know about this. But I got to check out ThorChain, too. I've never used that.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting-sounding technology. I appreciate your call tonight, and if you ever do end up using BISC, definitely let us know what the experience was like, because Aria and I are prohibited from doing that, so we can't explore that. But thank you for the call tonight.
I want to write you a letter, too. I want to write a letter for you, but I got to talk to my mom, because she's an English professor.
All right, very good. Well, you can learn more about that over at letters.freetalklive.com and how you can write to the judge in my case. So thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Millions of Americans remain in the path of the next major winter storm. Warnings are posted in numerous spots in Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. Blizzard warnings dot much of eastern South Dakota and southern Minnesota. The National Weather Service calling for up to 2 feet of snow through Thursday evening in places. The EPA is ordering Norfolk Southern to pay for all the cleanup associated with a toxic train derailment this month in East Palestine, Ohio.
Norfolk Southern will clean up all contamination in soil and water and safely transport that contamination to the appropriate location.
Administrator Michael Regan promised to hold the rail company accountable. Testing of the town's air and water within the evacuation zone would also continue. Regan and Ohio's governor both went to East Palestine today and drank the town's water themselves. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Time for you. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. Tina and Aria here tonight. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We have a variety of features there, and they are free, including our podcast. You can go to feeds.freetalklive.com, and you can subscribe there. You can copy our RSS feed, put it into your favorite podcast client, and get the latest episodes of the show delivered directly to you every single day. You can also use the links there to go to the major platforms that we are already on, like iHeartMedia or Spotify. Those are all linked over there at feeds.freetalklive.com. We're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts. We have David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you were talking about the law surrounding search, like your electric bill kind of thing. Oh, Gensler, Bankman-Fried, Madoff. But before I address that question of law that you brought up, Aria, the other day, you had said on air that there was something like 10 major corporations in the United States that own, you know, a majority or a hell of a lot of the wealth in the country. Is there something wrong with that? Ian was saying there was nothing wrong with that.
I would have a difficult time not being prepared to talk about it to, you know, really lay out what's wrong with it. But, yeah, it's kind of a problem that, you know, 10 corporations ultimately control a huge amount of all of the products in the United States.
And what do you think of that, Ian?
I'm not aware of this discussion, but, you know, I would rather have a free market. So the only reason why big corporations exist like this is because they're protected by the government. So I don't know where you got the idea that that's just okay with me. I'm against the idea of corporations in general.
I was right. I was basing it on the other day when you were laughing at me because I suggested that in every way possible and when ways aren't possible, we make it possible to buy all of the things or almost all of the things or as many of the things as we need from other than those types of corporations, preferably from individual.
This has been the worst businesses. David from New Mexico call ever. Just throwing
wonderful
that out there.
Are you? Thanks for going off on a tangent.
What are you trying to say? We should buy them from individual people? Sure, if you can afford it and their products are good.
Is that what he was getting at?
Well, I have no idea.
Talking about affording it, can you afford to go to prison?
Can you afford to make a complete statement?
Yeah, you seem to be a little jumpy tonight, David. You're kind of all over the place.
Unfortunately, I'm having a discussion where an IQ of about 130 plus would be helpful to understand where I'm going. You can't afford to go to prison, right? You don't want to do that. That's a bad thing. That's not a good thing.
Does that
right?
have anything to do with the discussion about
buying products from people? I'll tell you, supporting your jailers by buying from the fascist corporations that are in bed with your jailers, because it's more affordable to buy from them, Walmart, et cetera, instead of paying twice the price from a mom and pop business, because
man, I hope they fix that Adderall shortage.
No. Well, you know what?
All right. I'm going to just go and buy my toothbrush and toothpaste and all of the household cleaning chemicals from a mom-and-pop business because those are all available by mom-and-pop businesses in my area.
Well, actually, they are.
The hell they are.
I don't think they are.
Well, you haven't looked hard enough. I'm sure I can find them.
I live in a small town. And you can go and buy household cleaning chemicals, and you can go and buy your toothbrush and toothpaste from handmade craft maidens in your small town.
Yes, actually you can.
That's amazing.
I don't think I want my neighbors mixing. Clorox in their bathtub to sell people. I mean, like, I'm not going to say they can't do it, and I'm not going to advocate that the government, you know, stop them from doing it, but they're like, hey, you want to buy some? Don't buy store-brand bleach. Buy the bleach that I mixed in my bathtub.
There are people who, have, like, natural remedy kind of home cleaning things that they can put together. And maybe if you went to the farmer's market and looked around, you might be able to find somebody that was offering that. But the reality is time is important as far as, you know, if you're a busy person, and Aria, you and I are both pretty busy, we don't have time to go hunt around for somebody's homemade concoction of a window cleaner when it's just right there on the shelf at some local, you know, corporation or whatever. So look, I get where he's coming from. Corporations, ultimately, probably not the best things for the world, but there's a convenience factor that comes into play. And I will buy things locally when I can and when it's convenient. We are buying raw milk, for instance, that comes from a New Hampshire farm. We're not going to the farm to do it. We're going because that would take a lot of time.
Right.
But we are going to the local co-op grocery store, which isn't as corporate as some other grocery stores. But on the bad side, they were crazy about masks 2 years ago. So it's like it's not a good feeling to go there and buy from them. The point is there's no perfect solution. There's no easy option because the easier it is, the worse it is in a lot of cases as far as big corporations.
Yeah.
But then also the harder it is, the more expensive it is in a lot of cases as well. And so, like, there's no real winner of a solution because, like I said, the co-op sucks because they're a bunch of commies, basically. And
yeah, and the only other solution is to go to the farm yourself and buy the milk directly from the farmer. But obviously, that's insane.
Well,
right?
I mean, it's not insane if you live next door.
Well,
I mean,
the farmer
right
probably
there.
Doesn't want to do that with you in the first place.
I do. Jay Noon, our Thursday night co-host, actually does regularly go to a farm and get fresh milk. But he lives in the woods.
Yeah.
So, like, the farm isn't out of the way for him. It's probably just down the road. Whereas here, you know, you have to leave the city and then go into the woods and make sure they're going on the day that they're open and so on and so forth. And it's just like, it's just not worth putting that kind of effort in. I'm not the only one who feels that way. Bonnie also, while she's very interested in things like raw milk, you know, it would be have to be delivered, basically. And they deliver to the co-op. So we go there and we spend $10 on a jug of a gallon of raw milk.
Laura, though, that is pricey.
Yeah, it's like, what, three times, four times the price of your typical gallon? Because it's not subjected to the milk subsidies that the U.S. government puts into to the milk business. So you're actually paying what, like, an actual gallon of milk, relatively fresh from the farm, will cost.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Is it better?
I think Bonnie would say it is, but I can't really tell the difference.
Okay.
But her sense of taste is much more refined, I think, than mine is. Like, she can eat food and identify the different flavors in it of the ingredients. I'm like, that tastes good.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, let's continue here. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What's on your what's your name?
My name is Cynthia.
Cynthia, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a retired physician, and I get hostile when I realize our government restricts us from accessing safe substances that are very useful. I've never had an addiction. I had a friend who quit alcohol, cocaine, and tobacco all at the same time, and he said the hard one was tobacco. So it comes along a few years, and I realized that there's something called cotinine, which is a derivative of nicotine. So you take in nicotine, and your body creates cotinine from it. And cotinine turns out to be very safe and does all the positive benefits of the nicotine without the negatives. So the government slaps a designation on it, makes it unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
But I just checked Wikipedia, and apparently they're going to allow it to be out by prescription. And I'm thinking we need to go county by county, state by state, pulling these kind of abuses away from the federal government. And so I wanted to give people that alert that cocaine has all the positive aspects without the addiction.
So when you say positive aspects, you're talking about the positive aspects of nicotine? And what are
right,
those?
Right, right. Nicotine does have some positive attributes.
And
it's a stimulant
those?
And increases creativity and some other things, I imagine.
Oh, hell, it increases your IQ while you're using it.
Okay.
You're under stress. You need to think clearly, and the nicotine does help.
Huh. I've never noticed any of that, but then again, I've never been a nicotine addict. I have smoked some cigarettes in my day on rare occasion. There was one summer where I was smoking about one cigarette a day just for the hell of it. And I kind of understood why people would get addicted to it, but it never really did anything more than just give me a little buzz. So I don't know
You're
if
so
I'm going to say it's like the greatest
so
thing.
So fortunate not to have developed an addiction to it.
Well, I'm sure if I'd continued, I would have likely developed an addiction to it, but I put it down after that summertime. I don't know. I mean, you said it was called cotinine? Is that right?
C-O-T-I-N-I-N-E, cotinine.
Okay. Well, that's something for people to do some research on. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
Well, only that I had read that the patents for Bitcoin for that technology had gone through the Rose Law Firm, which is Hillary Clinton's old law firm.
There's no such thing as a patent for Bitcoin. It's not owned by anyone.
Okay, well, somebody dug up something, and they're pretty good researchers, and maybe I should find it and send it to you.
Yeah, feel free. I'd be happy to hear about that. Thank you for the call tonight, Cynthia. I do appreciate hearing from you. Bitcoin is open source technology. It is, and that means that the code of the computer code that Satoshi Nakamoto wrote in roughly 2008 that was released in 2009 as a program that you could download is open source. So anyone who's got the programming chops can go and look at it. They can go and download it. They can compile it. They can change it. They can, you know, that's why we have thousands of competitors to Bitcoin today, because most of them, with the exception of a few like Monero, most of them were based off of the original Bitcoin code. So there is no such thing as a patent when it comes to Bitcoin. I believe it would... I don't know if anyone could try to even patent Bitcoin. I don't know how the whole patent
system
works.
I think at this point your patent would be denied because the technology is it's out there now.
Yeah, I would hope. I would hope it would be demised. You would think somebody's tried that. Like Craig Wright probably tried to
patent the Bitcoin code
and got smacked down. So if you want to comment here, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. Do you want to try this new drug she's talking about and maybe pick up a new habit to replace your nicotine?
No, I'm all set. No, I haven't had nicotine in more than a year now,
nice.
And I'm quite happy with that. I mean, there are occasions, like, during this call, like the last 10 minutes, where I'm like, man, a cigarette would be nice, but, like, it's it's passing, and it's not even a thought about nicotine in the way that it would have been, you know, 15 months ago. It's just it's a memory, and I think, you know, yes, in a lot of ways, my health did sort of start deteriorating when I quit smoking, and I don't know if that's related or not, but that is absolutely when my energy level plummeted and never recovered. But that's also around the same time where I got COVID-19. So did I get this long COVID where it just saps away your fatigue for a very long time? I don't know. Maybe it's just because I quit sucking down stimulants 24/7 because nicotine is a stimulant. I don't know, and I don't really care.
Well, and you're piling on the court system situation as well, so there's some extra stressors.
Certainly not helping.
In your life.
Working 7 days a week, also not helping. So all of these things are, you know, factoring together, and ultimately I'm glad that I quit smoking. And I,
yeah, that's what you've said off the air, too.
So. Yeah, I said one time to someone that, you know, if I wasn't sentenced to prison, I would start back smoking. And that's not true. No, it's certainly not true. And that there was a conversation we were having at one point, but I wanted to clear the air on that no, it's true that knowing that I would have to just quit again would certainly prohibit me from resuming quitting smoking if I really wanted to, but I don't really want to, and I don't ever want to be beholden to something like that again. That sucked. Mm-hmm. You're not in control of yourself, and you are at its mercy to an extent. And if you try to resist, if you're like, no, I'm just not going to smoke this cigarette, it's going to have a physiological effect on you, and that sucks. Like, when you first wake up in the morning, I needed that cigarette. It wasn't optional.
Is that free coffee? Would you get the cigarette before the
nicotine
coffee?
Nicotine was way more important than anything else. Yeah. Like, before I would get that morning trip to the bathroom, I had to get nicotine in.
Wow.
There was nothing more important than waking up and getting that nicotine.
Wow.
And God help you if you got in the way of that, right? And once I got that, everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back to normal. I could function just fine. There were periods where I would wake up years ago and I would, you know, run out of cigarettes the night before or whatever because I was bad at planning.
Mm.
And waking up without a cigarette and having just that 10-minute delay of getting up and going to the store to acquire cigarettes would ruin your... It would ruin hours. Just that 10-minute delay of being awake and not getting nicotine, and the whole time you're on edge, your body hates it, your brain hates it.
That's being owned by that chemical.
I would never, ever want to go back to that. So Chantix, it sucked, and it was expensive. Mm-hmm. It was like $500 a month for Chantix.
Wow.
But it did the job.
How many months did you have to do it?
Four, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Four in total.
You probably saved that much in cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, significantly more. A pack a day, that's $8 a day.
Pays for itself.
For the cheaper ones.
Yeah, pays for itself.
So, yeah, within inside of a few months, it would have paid for itself. I'm not convinced that smoking, even then, was probably more expensive per day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm glad I quit smoking, and I wouldn't go back to it. And I wish Chantix was more available for people to do. It did have side effects, but... The main side effect is being free of a nicotine addiction.
I remember my girlfriend in Florida got some sort of smoking cessation shot. They, like, shot a needle in her butt and, like, injected some sort of chemical into her that basically made it disgusting, like a disgusting feeling whenever she would think about wanting to smoke. And it worked for her.
That's very similar to what Chantix did.
But it was only a one shot. And then they said that if it stopped working, she could come back and get another shot for free. But she didn't have to go back.
Very cool.
Yeah. And this was 20 years ago, so I don't know. It's probably gotten better since then, maybe cheaper, but I don't remember what the actual chemical was called. It was just like the smoking cessation shot. So, James O'Keefe, there's been some serious drama when it comes to Project Veritas, which we've talked a lot about in recent months with Free Talk Live. They've done some amazing undercover work revealing the, you know, ugly underbelly of Pfizer and Twitter and doing these really interesting undercover jobs on these people. and revealing the truth. And now the truth appears to be that James O'Keefe is no longer working for Project Veritas, although it's hard to really tell whether he quit or was fired. Different reports out there seem to indicate kind of different things, but he's
done. Well, six of one, half a dozen of the other, right?
Yeah. According to National Review, which is a right-wing website, the guerrilla filmmaker James O'Keefe, known for exposing left-wing politicians and institutions, is out at Project Veritas, the conservative media company he founded more than a decade ago. In a 45-minute video, which appears to have been filmed Monday at Veritas's office, O'Keefe announced that he was, quote, packing up his personal belongings after he had been indefinitely suspended from his role as CEO and removed from the group's board of directors. So it sounds like he was basically let go, but not really, and so therefore he just said, all right, I'm done. I can tell you don't want me here anymore.
Right.
O'Keefe,
well, they were either going to fire him or he was going to quit. So, I mean, yeah, the relationship was over.
He said that he was talking with the staffers there. The video was published anonymously on Vimeo, was quote-unquote just for us, and was being recorded for internal distribution, though he seemed to want the footage released widely. Quote, none of this makes any sense, and why is this happening right now? Those are the questions I have. I don't have answers, he said. While he may be out at Project Veritas, O'Keefe says he intends to continue his work and said he may suggest that he may start a rival watchdog organization and poach talent from Project Veritas.
Yeah, don't corporatize this one, though. Don't do the whole board of directors thing. Or if you do have some sort of rules in place where you can't be removed from the organization that you founded.
Yeah, it's like so sad when this happens, and it has happened so many times.
Yep.
He says, our mission continues. I'm not done. The mission will perhaps take on a new name, and it may no longer be called Veritas, Project Veritas. I'll need a bunch of people around me, and I'll make sure you know how to find me, he said. The announcement comes after weeks of internal discord at Project Veritas and apparent conflicts between O'Keefe and other leaders of the conservative watchdog group. He was suspended by the board earlier this month after he attempted to fire the group's chief strategy and financial officers over alleged conflicts over fundraising. In the video Monday, he noted his ouster came on the heels of the release of the undercover video that showed a Pfizer research director expressing concerns about the vaccines and acknowledging his company planned to mutate the coronavirus through directed evolution. We played some of those clips on the air here, and then that guy lost his mind when he was confronted, grabbed the tablet from the Project Veritas people, slamming it on the ground, destroying their tablet, and just absolutely went crazy when he realized he was caught. Was some of them as
but they still got the video
they
off
got
of
the
it?
Video yeah, it was, well, undercover camera was recording it,
okay,
but they came up to him with a tablet showing him you know, the undercover video on the tablet, like, hey man, oh, we caught you, what do you have to say for yourself? And he lost it. It was amazing video, and in fact even O'Keefe said that was the biggest story in our organization's history. He said, but stopped short of saying directly it was connected to his downfall. He said he didn't know why this was happening. There's been speculation that O'Keefe was ousted to protect the organization from legal fallout from the videos. But what I've heard is that there are staffers, and they mentioned it coming up here, there's an 11-page letter signed by 16 Project Veritas employees, and including opinions and anecdotes from allegedly a third of their staffers, was sent to the board taking aim at O'Keefe's management style and business acumen. In the letter, he was described as a power-drunk tyrant and a diva who abused, bullied, demeaned, and overworked his employees and who caused concerns among donors. One employee even accused him of taking a pregnant woman's sandwich in court.
I mean, all of that's despicable. And, you know, being an investigative journalist, or whatever he would call himself, I would say it's investigative journalism, doesn't necessarily mean you're a good boss or a good business person. And in this sense, having the corporate infrastructure is a good thing, having someone who is a good boss.
And who can do the numbers or whatever, right?
Having those people is a good thing. So, I mean, and, you know, maybe James O'Keefe should have stepped back from all that stuff and said, hey, look, I'm not a good boss. I shouldn't be in the position of telling people what to do, so I'm not going to.
But he was also the CEO, there. So he was the boss.
Right, maybe that was the issue.
It's just that he wasn't in charge. But here's the thing, it's like, if you work with enough people, somebody, you're going to rub somebody the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a few people here at Free Talk Live, and we don't have employees. We just have people that like being on the radio, and they come in and they do a show with us. But there's been some times when I've had to tell somebody, you're not welcome to come back for various different reasons.
Sure.
And I don't like having to do that, but I'm the one who does that. And, you know, so whether they have hard feelings against me for that, I mean, that's up to them. But not everybody's going to work well together. If you've got, and it sounds like there's maybe about 64 people that work, or 50 or so people that work for Project Veritas, there's just a good chance that some of those people are not going to like you. And maybe some of those people got those jobs specifically to undermine you. And that is another possibility here, is that Project Veritas is a well-known, effective media organization that does some very unique kind of reporting. You don't see undercover camera reporting a lot from the mainstream media these days. They used to do it. I remember when I was growing up, there was like the channel 8 in Tampa Bay would do 8 on Your Side, and they would have like an undercover guy go into a like an automotive dealer, an undercover woman go into an automotive dealer and like try to ask them what's wrong with their car, and they're of course lying to her, right, about, oh well, this is wrong and you need to fix this and that.
Yeah.
And then they took it to somebody that was an honest dealer, and they would say, yeah, they lied to you about X, Y, and Z. And so, boom, busted, you know. So it was kind of like an interesting kind of tactic. I don't see that anymore, but then again, we do live in New Hampshire where that's illegal, so maybe it still goes on.
I also don't watch the news, so.
Yeah, neither do I, but this is like really hard-hitting stuff that they do, and so it wouldn't surprise me if their political opposition sent people in.
Like the FBI. Or the CIA or whatever.
Yeah, it could be government people.
They've been infiltrated.
Or they could just be, you know, people that are Pfizer stockholders or whatever, right? I don't know. But people who are against Project Veritas, whoever that would be, could just go and apply for jobs and say, hey, look, I got this conservative resume here. We've seen, you know, conservatives fight with each other just like libertarians fight with each other. This petty kind of crap goes on. And so it could simply be that there's some people that are in the organization that have been against him from day one. And now they've managed to manipulate themselves into positions where they've got the influence, or they're on the board of directors or whatever. But as you pointed out, Arya, the mistake made here was having a board of directors in the first place. And the other side of this ugliness is the Project Veritas statement that was put out from the board of directors, where they accuse O'Keefe of spending money irresponsibly on himself, saying he spent $14,000 on a charter flight to meet someone to fix his boat under the guise of meeting with a donor, $60,000 in losses by putting together dance events such as Project Veritas Experience, spending over $150,000 in black cars in the last 18 months, thousands of dollars spent on DJ equipment for personal use, and they claim hundreds of other acts of personal inurement. So it's ugly.
Well, here, those things are called embezzlement, and yeah, those are crimes.
Yeah, whether it's true or not, who knows? But that's what the allegations are. We'll see you tomorrow.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com. Or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.